The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
But first this hour, we turn to the UK local elections, which have brought difficult results for Keir Starmer and Labour, with Reform making major gains. Is this an early warning sign for the British Prime Minister, or just a snapshot of local frustration? Well, I'm joined by former Labour MP Stephen Pound and LBC reporter and presenter Henry Riley. And Henry, I'll come to you first for the overall picture as the results are still emerging. How do things stand as of this morning?
Around a third of the councils that are up for election. There's 136 in total. We've had around a third of those declared. There's just over 5,000 councillors who are up for election in England. Of course, we don't know the picture yet from Scotland and Wales. They've just started counting in those areas. But certainly based on these local elections, it's a very good night for Reform UK based on their results coming in. They've just ticked over 400 seats in terms of councillors. And as your news headlines have been reflecting, it's been a really bruising night for Sir Keir Starmer and the Labour Party. I'm actually joining you from Havering, which is the first part of London to go turquoise, the first area that Reform UK have won in the capital. And they didn't just win, Clare, they won huge. They've won 70% of the councillors, 39 of the 55. The Conservatives, who were actually the largest party here in terms of seats last time out, are reduced to zero. They've gone from 23 to zero. And I've just been speaking with Nigel Farage, who's been in Havering, as you might expect, sort of basking in the results, not just here, but in areas like Newcastle-under-Lyme in Staffordshire. And I mean, he's very much making the point that he is a government in waiting. He's topping the opinion polls still. He's very serious about that, and undoubtedly a very good night for his party.
Mm-hmm. And what about the Conservatives then? I see they've taken Westminster. That's a cause of celebration for them. They lost it, didn't they, back in 2022, having held it since 1965. So they'll be delighted with that result. But what's the overall picture?
Well, you're right to highlight Westminster, because that really was one of their sort of crown jewel councils. The same with Wandsworth, that was often said to be Margaret Thatcher's favourite council because they, for some years, froze council tax. And the Conservatives, the largest party there, they didn't quite win it back, Wandsworth, but they did win Westminster, as you say. But they are down a huge number of seats. And look, Kemi Badenoch, as a leader, her personal ratings are above the Conservatives, but that's hardly surprising given the drubbing that they received at the last general election here in July of 2024. So I think it's going to be a difficult night for her, but certainly there won't be questions about her leadership, purely because there is that recognition that the party's in a difficult place. The last time these councils elected was right after the vaccine, and there was seen to be a sort of vaccine bounce. But really, Clare, we've heard from the Prime Minister speaking from a Methodist church today, Sir Keir Starmer, saying that he's going to carry on as leader. And, you know, when a party leader says something like that, it can mean the writing's on the wall.
Uh-huh. I see very clearly he has said, I will stand as Prime Minister at the next election. There was a watershed here, wasn't there? And I'll ask Stephen about this as well in a moment, where people said the worst possible result for Labour would be a loss of 1,500 seats. John Curtis, the polling analyst, is saying that it could be 1,200. I mean, that is very close to the worst case scenario for Keir Starmer, isn't it?
It is. But I mean, actually, in some ways, they'll be quite pleased with that, because I mean, there was some Michael Thrasher as well, another polling expert, was actually predicting it could be as bad as 1,800. So ultimately, it's not good. And we've had Labour MPs. Yes, they've been critics of Sir Keir Starmer for some time. But Jonathan Brash, who's in Hartlepool, real Red Wall area in the north of England, calling for him to resign. His wife, incidentally, lost a council seat in that area. You've had John Trickett, a Corbyn, he was in Jeremy Corbyn's shadow cabinet, the previous Labour leader. He's calling for the Prime Minister to resign. And I think what's interesting, Clare, is where do the Labour Party go? Because they are bleeding support to Reform UK. I mean, they really are losing out to Nigel Farage's party. But equally, we haven't had some of the inner London areas count yet. And that's where the Green Party pose a big challenge, in areas like Camden, in Islington. I mean, these are areas that Zach Polanski and his Green Party will be hoping to hit Labour. And do they tack to the right to counter Reform? Do they tack to the left to tackle the Greens? It really is a bit of a nightmarish scenario. And Andrew Marr, the veteran political commentator, saying today that Nigel Farage is on course to enter Downing Street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's saying, I see in his, as you say, he's basking in the glow of this, but he is saying that he will run as a candidate for Prime Minister in the next general election. But the Green Party you mentioned there, and Zach Polanski, their leader, long heralded over the last number of months, certainly as somebody who was a real breakthrough star. But in recent days, his reputation has suffered. There were notes on his CV, claims that he had made about being a spokesperson for the British Red Cross, where he had to say, actually, I wasn't. Also, his comments about the police response to the Jewish attack in Golders Green, they no doubt have impacted him and his party in this election.
Oh, undoubtedly. The shine has come off, if you like, for some people when it comes to Zach Polanski. And the only sort of saving grace for him is that certainly from Green Party sources, there was an awful lot of postal ballots that had been done by that time. And so that wouldn't have affected those people. But you're quite right to highlight. I mean, there was an incident when you say where he said he was a spokesperson for the Red Cross. It turned out he did a fundraiser for them. He claimed he was on the Society of Hypnotherapists in the UK. It turned out he wasn't. He'd never been a board member. And most seriously as well, he shared a tweet on X that appeared to criticise the police in their response to the suspected terror attack in Golders Green. And that certainly has impacted him as well. Nonetheless, I do think in some of those inner London areas, faced with the choice of Sir Keir Starmer or Zach Polanski, there does seem to be a strong sense that many have opted for the Green Party leader.
Mm-hmm. So how will this play out over the course of the day? How long is it going to take until we get the full picture?
Well, I think it's due to go right into tonight. I'm unclear. Sometimes there are some councils declaring on a Saturday, but I think we should have the full picture tonight. But I mean, through the course of the afternoon, we'll start hearing some of those Green Party targets and how well they've done. Also, Wales and Scotland. And look, there were some reports earlier on. Again, don't know if this is true as of yet, but certainly it was being reported by major outlets that Eleanor Morgan, Baroness Morgan, the First Minister of Wales, was worried about potentially losing her seat. I mean, Labour have been in power in Wales, or the largest party in one way or another, since 1920. And if Sir Keir Starmer loses not just out on first place to potentially Plaid Cymru, but ends up in third behind Reform UK, I mean, that is a real disaster. And with Scotland, you know, the SNP government who've been in again since the iPhone was launched. I mean, they've been in power since God was a boy. Mm-hmm. They are predicted to be the largest party again, and they're not exactly particularly popular in Scotland, as you can imagine, with being incumbents for that long. So I think, Claire, what we'll start to see, as I mentioned, we've had a few MPs come out jittery as of yet. They'll certainly be talking to colleagues. I know there are those who the Prime Minister supports are saying we can't have this sort of doom scrolling through leaders. That's what tripped the Conservatives up. But there certainly are live conversations about his suitability to remain in Downing Street.
Well, Henry, I'm very grateful to you for being with us, because I know you didn't have much sleep last night. So we really appreciate talking to you this morning. LBC reporter and presenter Henry Riley there. And as I said, former Labour MP Stephen Pound is with us too. Good morning to you, Stephen.
Good morning to you. I've got much sleep. I haven't had any sleep.
You haven't had any sleep. Well, listen, we're very grateful to you too for being with us. But I know you wouldn't be sleeping right now anyway, because you're still watching the results coming through. What do you think this means for Keir Starmer?
Indeed. Well, for Keir Starmer, what it means is it's a huge difficulty, possibly existential threat that we face. Look, what's happened in the Labour Party, we're used to facing the threat from the right. It's been a left-right war. We're now in retail politics. We're in a sort of pick and mix with five different parties. And the sort of the sensation I got last night at the count in my own borough was, you know, so ashes to ashes, dust to dust. If the left don't get you, then the right wing must. Because we're facing two different competing forces. And it's very difficult to fight against that. But at the moment, I'm terrified to go to sleep, because although less than a quarter of the results in GB have actually been declared, we've got Wales and Scotland to come, and those could be seismic. That could be incredibly important. What it means for Keir in the short term is that one or two people, like Jonathan Brash up in Hartlepool, you know, will make some remarks that some might seem as intemperate. Dear Diane Abbott, of course, has, you know, hit the Twitter waves immediately and made a few comments. But the reality is that we have a huge job to do. A lot of us in the Labour Party are quite terrified about the implications of a Reform government, in all honesty. And certainly on the island of Ireland, there should be a great grave concern about the fact that the Reform are completely opposed to any integration further of European customs rules, which are crucial for the island of Ireland. Also, their attitude is pretty brutal, in all honesty. So I think at the moment, what's going to happen, I think, as the dust of battle clears and, you know, maybe the bodies are dragged from the battlefield, people are going to raise their eyes from the potholes in the street and look at the bigger picture, the global picture. And when you look at the situation in Ukraine, you know, the war in Iran, the United States, I don't think anyone in this country believes that there's a better person to be at the helm of the, you know, the good ship United Kingdom.
I don't know, Stephen. I mean, a lot of the early reaction I saw coming through, a lot of the candidates have been saying to reporters, it was Keir Starmer's name who came up on the door as the biggest obstacle for people who felt that they couldn't vote for their Labour candidate.
Well, you know, the old thing, keep a hold of nurse for fear of finding something worse. I mean, it's all very well defenestrating somebody. You've got to see who fills the vacuum, who fills the gap. And at the moment, we're in a period, clearly, and you know more than most people, in a period of absolute global insecurity and fear at the moment, and danger. There's the possibility of a huge market, a global market crash coming down the hill pretty fast at us at the present time. The situation in Iran and obviously Hormuz that you've spoken about is getting worse and worse. Now, to change to change horses in midstream at the moment would be fatal. It would be lethal, you know, not just for the economy, but I think for our position in the world and the way we're finally working with our European partners, the European brothers and sisters, including in Dublin particularly.
So not, we need him. Okay, well, what if the horse was Wes Streeting or Andy Burnham or Angela Rayner?
Yeah, I have to say your metaphors are causing a certain amount of brain fog with me.
That's the lack of sleep, Stephen.
No, it's a good. Yeah, I think in each one of those cases, I can discuss each one of them individually. And honestly, I just don't see any one of those people stepping up to the plate at the present time in terms of national negotiations. Look what Keir's been doing, not just with the European Union, but, you know, with the European political groupings. You know, the credibility that he has, you know, with people like Mark Carney in Canada, who is becoming an increasingly important figure. His relationship with the Taoiseach, the relationship he has with other leading European parliamentarians and people who actually want to have some stability and, please God, some peace in the world. I don't think any of those could actually replicate that gravitas and that strength and those contacts that he has at the present time.
But I suppose it's all about the voters, isn't it? I mean, he can get on with Mark Carney until the cows come home, but he needs the support of the people who are expected to vote for him when the general election rolls around. You heard Nigel Farage today. He's standing in the sunshine outside of the county centre saying, I am going to run for Prime Minister next time out. Now, can Keir Starmer beat Nigel Farage? That's all that matters here.
I think he can. Let me just say the reality of the situation. Now, the Reform UK won about 10 council seats. You know, they've made a dog's breakfast of every one of them. There's not a single one of the councils that Reform run, which is actually operating successfully. Not one of them has actually cut council tax, as they all promised. Not one of them has got rid of, you know, what they felt was a sort of infestation of wokeism, which didn't actually exist. It was all very well as a soundbite on the doorstep. But, you know, you look under the bonnet and there's nothing there. So I think just as the gloss is coming off the Green, it's very much indeed, and you and Henry rightly identified some of the problems, and certainly I'm seeing a lot of people who've got buyer's remorse about their support for the Greens. There's more and more stuff about some of the sort of the dregs of the worst aspects of Corbynism appear to have washed up in the Green Party. So to quote, you know, I think it was Dick Tuck's famous comment, which I can't repeat in there entirely, but he said, you know, the people have spoken, the asterisk asterisk.
I see some analysis in the London Times today, which starts with the line, the Labour Party is losing to everyone, everywhere. It concedes that Reform UK hasn't peaked, but Keir Starmer is doing worse than Jeremy Corbyn here. And that is an extraordinary place for the British Prime Minister to be.
It is a terrifying place, and it's an unprecedented place. We've never, ever, you know, had the heat. We've circled the wagons many times. We've not had the wagons circle around us before. And I think the terrifying thing here is that it's very, very difficult to actually to fight a war on so many multiple fronts. It's not impossible, but it's very, very difficult. We're facing asymmetric political warfare at the present time. And I think the only way we can actually deal with that is instead of chasing after each and every one of them, we've got to actually clarify the Labour message, you know, sort of the decency and the stability and the support for people that it's part of our DNA, part of our bloodstream. We've got to get there. People have got to come to us. It's not just a question of us chasing after the people. We've got to actually stand on the hill and say, here we stand. Yeah, and I think let's have a bit of pride in what we do. And I have to say, this is probably the most sort of febrile time in politics I wasn't around in 1922 when Labour first won Wales, but you know, I feel like I've been around for a pretty long time. And I've never ever known anything where I've been sort of walking down the street and having people throwing stones at me from everyone at 360 degrees.
My goodness. Well, Stephen, I hope you get some rest eventually today, and I really do appreciate you taking the time to speak to us. That's the former Labour MP, Stephen Pound, there.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.